Good morning. Annyeong haseyo. On this sunny day, please pray for the thousands of marathon runners who will need additional energy in all this heat as they raise, I think, millions of pounds, don't they? Today we have three services, and tea and coffee will be served between our morning services. I have one item of pastoral news, but that doesn't mean that there are people who do need to be thought of. But Peggy Chegwin is still in Frimley Park Hospital. This is an early reminder not to forget the homeless photography exhibition that will be here, not this Monday, but next Monday afternoon. Janine, where is she? At the back there. Janine would love to have more volunteers to manage the sound system. Full training is available. She has told me that this will remain on the list until the one we are waiting for emerges. And a member of the congregation is planning to make marmalade and would like a few empty jam jars, if you could spare them. And finally, Sally would like a word.
Morning. This is not a notice about children or young people, just for a change. It's about Wednesday the 16th of May at 7 p.m. We're going to take part as a church in something called Thy Kingdom Come, which started in 2016. It was something that the Archbishop of Canterbury wanted to do with the Church of England in this country, and lots of other churches thought, what a good idea, we'd like to do that too. And it's now become an international ecumenical gathering of Christians who pray for the 10 days between Ascension Day and Pentecost. So all sorts of activities will be going on throughout that period of time. And Kingston URC have signed up to it. And one of the things that we're going to be doing is we're going to have 60 minutes of prayer for our nation, praying that God's kingdom would come upon us as a nation. It's really important. Last year we did it. We had about 12 people come. We'd love it to be bigger this year. We're going to invite other churches to come and join us. So come and join us to pray in your own way. You don't have to pray out loud if you don't want to. You don't have to pray in creative ways if you don't want to. Just come and join us to pray. And know that you'll be doing it with thousands of other Christians all over the world and from lots and lots of different denominations, including the URC. So I'm flagging it up now. Wednesday the 16th of May, 7 p.m, 60 minutes of prayer for our nation. I hope to see a lot of you there. Thank you.
The cornerstone that was rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The Lord is my shepherd. Your kindness and your love will always be with me every day of my life. Let us bring our offering of worship now. We join to sing.
Thank you.
We're joined together to pray. Let us pray. Let our prayers ascend like incense, scenting the air with praise. Let our prayers raise the roof, filling the air with harmony. Lord, you are our shepherd and we are your sheep. You lead us where we need to go. Whatever life throws at us, we do not have reason to fear, for you are with us. Whatever our struggles are, whatever our opposition, your goodness and mercy is with us. And so we will worship you. But we are the ones whose mission it is to build up and not to destroy, and yet we manage to sabotage ourselves and to destroy the things we love. We are the ones who reject the cornerstone of our faith by denying Christ in our friend and in our neighbor. Lord, forgive us and accept the faltering praise and worship that we bring. We offer all that we have, we offer all that we are. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Transform this time together and transform the lives that we offer day by day. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer in our first language or in the way that chimes best for us. We say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever.
Good morning. Right, I wonder if you, children, you could help me. I appear to have lost my shepherd today. Do you know what a shepherd is? What's a shepherd? A shepherd, so a shepherd is not a lamb. They look after lambs, don't they? Yeah. Shepherds look after lambs and sheep. Well, I've lost my shepherd today, so what I'd like you to do is to go around the church and see if you can find my shepherd for me and bring them to the front. Thank you. You found a shepherd. Brilliant. Bring her to the front because she's supposed to be here with me. This talk is going very badly already. Right. Brilliant, I've got my shepherd. Now, there's something missing, isn't there? She hasn't, what have you done with the sheep? She's hopeless. She's lost her sheep. She's like, go and find some sheep. Oh, sorry about this, everybody. I think she's supposed to have 3 sheep. Dahi's found one. Bring it to the front when you've found the sheep. One sheep. Right, there you are. Just do your job. Goodness sake. Right. Thank you, Sophia. Poor sheep. Is there one more? Keep looking. You're very close. Oh. I think you're better shepherds than Sulhi, frankly. Sorry. So we've got our shepherd and we've got our sheep. What makes a good shepherd? To look after the sheep, make sure they don't go missing. That's a biggie, isn't it? What else? To love them. Yeah. What else? Make sure no one eats them. Yes. Vegetarians unite. Anything else? So they've got to make sure they don't lose them. They've got to love them. Make sure that they're safe. Especially in Bible times, they did get eaten by wolves. That's why they had to have lots of shepherds to look after the sheep. That's right. All these things that make a good shepherd. Do you think if I didn't pay Sulhi to be a shepherd, she'd still be a shepherd? Do you think she'd only do it for the money? A really good shepherd would still want to look after the sheep, even if they didn't get any money for it. And that's what you're going to be learning about today. You're going to be learning about a good shepherd, the best shepherd. And it's not, I have to tell you, Sulhi. Particularly because she loses sheep all over the place. It's Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd, and that's who you're going to learn about today. And he loves his sheep. He knows each one by name. He doesn't lose them. He doesn't let other people scare them or harm them because he cares about them. Okay? Jesus, the good shepherd. Thank you. We're going to sing, and I've forgotten what we're going to sing. Sorry. I will sing. I will sing a song unto the Lord. We're going to sing. So please stand and join us.
You should get a shoe. Good, good. See you later. Oops, blimey. Ah, watch your head. Ooh. Whew. Two readings from the, you could say, Johannine canon, if you wanted to be funky. The first letter is, the first letter of John is about care of the needy. And this dominant theme about how, in this letter, the dominant theme is about how believers are called to love one another. And Tony Wenman will read this passage to us.
First Epistle of John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. And I'm reading it from the New Revised Standard Bible. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has this world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Linking the notion of the Good Shepherd in John 10 with the reading in 1 John may be a stretch, or may appear to be a stretch, but it is about the fact that shepherd is a metaphor for the one who cares, whose job it is to protect the weak and the needy. And this passage will be read to us by Katie Frost.
Right, reading from John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. When the hired man, who is not a shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man runs away because he is only a hired man and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep and they know me. And I am willing to die for them. There are other sheep which belong to me that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them too. They will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I am willing to give up my life in order that I may receive it back again.
Thank you. However rubbish or excellent they are at their jobs, this passage in John shapes the ordering of the lives of ministers of word and sacraments in the United Reformed Church. We're not paid, and we are expected to hang around if there is a time of danger. The way that it works is that we are given a wadge of cash. It's called a stipend. Currently, £26,184, and we are expected to live in a tied house. And among the questions asked at ordination or induction is this: do you promise to live a holy life and to maintain the truth of the gospel, whatever trouble or persecution may arise? We are people who promise to stay when others would be running away. Now, let's be clear, I'm not saying that ministers of religion have a uniquely vocational understanding of life, but it is a smaller proportion of people in society than it used to be. Maddie, for example, sorry to pick on you, Maddie, but it's true. Maddie would tell you about somebody who works in one of the shops in Kingston, whose brother is a doctor in Syria. And he will not leave, although everybody else round about him says that he should. He is prepared to put his life at risk for the sake of his patients. The passage in John would contrast those who are paid in their role of leadership with those who are not. Why does money make such a big difference? The motivation for why you do what you do is a big issue. So let me ask you this. In all honesty, nobody else is going to ask you, answer you. You're just going to think about this. How do you get paid for the work that you do for God? How do you get paid for the work that you do for the church? Oh, no, I don't get paid, some might say. Well, yeah, people say that until somebody forgets to say thank you, or forgets to recognise what they've done, or their friends or society dismisses what they do and thinks that they're a bit nuts, and suddenly all the social value of what they were doing is lost, or something becomes irritating or psychologically demanding. How do you get paid? For some, it's about status. For some, it's about power. For some, it's about being in the know. I don't know those people. Said as though it was a fault on the other, as opposed to each of us taking responsibility for getting to know one another. Jesus gives his life for the community, he says, in a way that others have not done. Others before him have modeled their lives on the avoidance of suffering, and he offers a new model which is about the whole of life being offered. And the community around John thinks that this is true of Jesus, but it's also true of those who are leaders in the church. Once upon a time, people thought of ministry as being a profession. But it's not that. It never was. It's a vocation. It's a calling. And the good news is that as the church in the UK becomes weaker and weaker and loses its social status, we can get back in touch with that truth. It is, however, a challenge for other churches in the rest of the world church that we are a part of. Our call as followers of Jesus is to be God's servant people. So yes, this is about church leadership, ministers and elders, but it's also a call about each one of us. All of us, this day will never be lived again. Our days are fading. But are we giving up our lives or are we wasting them? Jesus speaks of himself as giving up his life. He does it on purpose. He does it out of love, but he deliberately gives up his life. He gives it up of his own free will. He doesn't do it for the money. He does it because he loves. How would your life look if your number one motivating factor was love? Jesus invests his life in the people around him. His model is love. And it's also true for us. So the question is, who do we love? And for us, that's a real challenge because each of us lives in a society which is very me-centric. And the wisdom is, I need to look after myself, I need to make me the centre, and the basis of my moral choices is, does it make me happy or not? Does it make my life easier or not? That is the basis upon which I make my moral choice. But that is not how it is within the kingdom of God. God is the centre. We are God's servant people. And the idea in our society that I would do anything without getting paid for it is weird. Even volunteering is held up about how it will help you in your career. Even that, even volunteering. And to give up your life in the Christian context is very, very foreign stuff. So we need to be aware of that in our own thinking. So for Christians, Christ gave his life for us. We too then ought to give our lives to our brothers and sisters. It's not that we give our spare time to the life of the church. It is that we take every moment that we have to do God's will. Every moment that we have to do God's will. Whether we're doing things in this building, in this place, or whether we're doing them in the place that we usually spend our days, our home, our shop, our school, whatever it is, we are doing what we believe to be God's will. That means that those eyes watching that screen, are they doing God's will? Those eyes reading that print, are they doing God's will? Those eyes looking at those pictures, are they doing God's will? That brain thinking those mean critical thoughts of others, are they doing God's will? It's not how little can I get away with in terms of the giving of myself and the giving of my money. It is about what does God want from me? And then we deliver it. We don't just think it. We don't just, oh, that's a good idea. No. We think it and we move into action. So the next question is, how do these stories fit with the Easter story? The man hangs on the cross. His blood drips to the floor. And then he is raised to new life. It's about sacrifice. It's about investment of ourselves. It's about our investment in something that is bigger than me. We give up our lives day by day because we are not the centre of the universe. God is. And I want to tell you that if you get that, if you believe that's true, which we would all say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you actually believe that is true and try and live it, you have a massive challenge on your hands in terms of living your life in our society. And all that stuff about family being the centre of my life, and my work being the centre of my life, all that, you know, it's not that it's bad, but it's just not enough to take the weight of your life. So to invest in people, in bigger causes than me, bigger than my comfort and my family, that is what the Lord requires of us. It's not that these things are wrong, it's just that they don't take the weight of the whole of your life. Call is to do what the Lord requires of each one of us at this season, to work it out and to do it. So let us pray. You, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need. You let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me to streams of peaceful waters, and you refresh my soul. You are true to your name, and you lead me along the right paths. I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest, and you fill my cup until it overflows. Your kindness and love will always be with me each day of my life, and I will live forever in your house, Lord. Amen. So if when we turn up this hymn, you might well think, oh, I don't know this. You might not know it, but you do know the tune. You do know the tune. So we join to sing Too Early for the Blackbird. So let us pray. We pray for the lost sheep of this world. For politicians striving to hang on to power and influence. And for leaders of the nations who have forgotten to serve the common good. We pray for the lost sheep of this world. We pray for those who follow fashion, the demands of today at the expense of tomorrow. And for those who get swept along by the crowd on tides of prejudice and easy judgments. Pray for the lost sheep of this world, for those who wander off on their own to escape from reality, for those battling day by day with addictions, for those who are led astray, away from safety and well-being. For wise use of social media. We pray for the lost sheep of this world, for those in residential care, for those people that nobody notices them and nobody visits. We pray for the lost sheep of this world, for those who take what they have for granted, and for those who are unable to give thanks for the things that they have. Pray for those whose burdens are ours. Pray for ourselves. Lord, for your love for us, for the way you care for us, for the sacrifice you made for us, we give you thanks and praise. And in confidence that you listen and that you care, we bring our prayers. And all God's people said, Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let's pray. What folly, Lord, to think that we could bring in offering to you a single thing we have not first received from you, except perhaps our will to give. Our lives are the real offering, freely and sacrificially given. Bless all we bring to your use. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn, Love Divine or Love's Excelling. This is one to be learning. This is one to be learning. Remaining as we are, let us pray. Lord, send us out like sheep who know their shepherd well, with wisdom to follow in Christ's footsteps and obey his commands, and the power of the Spirit to guide and bless us. Thanks be to God. Amen.